powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, as a reminder for you guys, we are going to have Kraken Center Morgan Geeky joining us at 1:30. So stay tuned for that. Lots of Kraken talk to get to with a very exciting guest. Again, Morgan Geeky joining us at 1:30. Right now, though, let's jump into free agency. It's a huge offseason for the Seattle Mariners. Here to help us out on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline is ESPN's Kylie McDaniel. Kylie, how's it going?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're really excited to talk about some of these guys that the Mariners should be looking at, or maybe more importantly, like, can they look at them? So you have a new feature. It's on the front page of ESPN.com in case anyone listening wants to check that out. And in it, Kylie details some of the top free agents in all of baseball, who's going to be on the market, everything you need to know about them. So let's start with the shortstop market. And obviously that seems to be the biggest story. Are there any of these top shortstops where you look at them and see a team like Seattle who might have their answer at shortstop, see being a fit for them?
For the pure shortstops, no. I think Correa, Story, Seager, Javi Baez, I guess it's around that group too. I think they probably have slightly better spots, and I think Seattle will be looking for a slightly different sort of player, because I think they're, like you said, they're sort of confident with J.P. Crawford at short, and I think they're more looking at second base. Obviously, a lot of shortstops can play second base, and there is a little bit of chatter that, depending on the team, Javi Baez, if he gets a short-term deal, maybe a second base. Trevor Story had some trouble throwing this year, so he could settle for a short-term deal and play second base. And then the guy that I had sort of mentioned, and I guess since then a lot of other people have mentioned, Marcus Semien, who has played shortstop in the past but played second base last year with Toronto, he seems to be the guy that the Mariners are most interested in to be continue to be sort of a pure second baseman.
And you also projected a contract of what you think it would cost to get Semien. What was the contract and what went into that? Oh, Kylie?
Oh, thank you,
sure.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
He hit the market a couple of years ago. He had like one good season and then an iffy season, and then 2020, the shortened year. He was just okay. He had to settle for a one-year deal, and then he's, you know, going to get MVP votes this year. So now he is at a much higher level, and he's 31 and has experience playing second and short. And so you're looking at a guy that's, you know, you're going to be paying him as though he will be an all-star level guy for two or three more years. And I think he will be for at least one or two more years. So that's sort of the challenge there, is because he's going to be 31 on opening day, how much longer is this going to go? Whereas with Carlos Correa, who's going to get paid a lot more, he's going to be 27 on opening day. And that's sort of the age you tend to see these Harper, Machado, Correa, those sorts of guys, whereas Semien is more the traditional free agent already over 30. Mm.
One of the other names that is really intriguing to me and to a lot of Mariners fans is somebody like Chris Bryant. How realistic is Chris Bryant for Mariners fans out there who are looking at him and going, man, that would be an incredible addition to this team?
Yeah, he's another tricky one, because his first three seasons in the big leagues were among the best, like, first three seasons in, like, baseball history. And I know last year there was a lot of chatter that he might get non-tendered by the Cubs, because really he was up for 1 year. I believe it was $19.5 million in his last year of arbitration. And I, like, had conversations off the record with GMs who said, yeah, we wouldn't trade anything for him. Like, we think he's negative value at $19.5 million. We wouldn't trade a prospect for him. And that, like, there were many teams that felt that way. They just thought he was trending in the wrong direction. You're paying for name value, and he's not going to bring that much to the table at that price point. Obviously, still a good player. This year, he answered a lot of those questions, and now the suspicion is somebody's going to give him $100 million, maybe even as high as, like, $120, $130. But everyone's sort of sitting there, and it sounds like most teams are like, yeah, we'd give him, you know, 3-4 years, you know, $60, $80, maybe $90 million. So at that price, I think it's reasonable. If somebody wants to go out and offer him $130, then I suppose that's a little less reasonable. But he's another guy that I think he's probably just a tier below Semien as a player for me. I think Semien could be on the advanced metrics, you know, 4-5-1 player for a couple of years. I think Bryant's more 3-4, maybe 2.5-4, but he's a little bit younger. So there might be a little more longevity there. And there's, you know, always a chance that he goes back to what he was early in his career.
You know, Kylie, as you're looking at this situation for the Mariners, who are finally here in Seattle, we're like, finally, they're going to start opening up their payroll. They're going to start getting aggressive here. At least that's what they're telling us. Is there any name out there regarding infield, starting pitching, that you're looking at that screams to you a legit possibility that the Mariners could pull this off and land this particular player, maybe outside of the Chris Bryant, Marcus Semien conversation?
Yeah, I could see some interest in a guy like Marcus Stroman. I think there's a shot. There's that second tier of pitcher behind the Robbie Ray, Kevin Gausman, Max Scherzer. You could argue Clayton Kershaw belongs in that group as well, where there's some real uncertainty. Like Carlos Rodon, I think, is worth a three-year deal at, you know, $17 to $20 million. He didn't get offered the QO, which is 1 year at $18 million from the White Sox. I still don't know why. I've been talking to people for days trying to figure out why they didn't do that. It sort of suggests there's something we don't know going on around health. All that to say, that tier in like the $40 to $60 million guaranteed range, where that's Rodon, Marcus Stroman, and a couple other guys, possibly Kershaw, that's the area where those guys, one of them's going to settle for $35, $40 million, or maybe just sign a one-year deal, which, you know, if Rodon has an injury issue that extends into next year, he may have to do that. And I mentioned it with some of those shortstops like Story and Baez. Like, some of these guys that everyone thinks are going to get big money, a couple of them are going to get left out. They're not going to get the high-end number they want, and they're going to be left over on the market for a big one-year deal. And the question is then, are you a competing team? Do you have enough money in your payroll? Are you the sort of team that sort of gets the most out of their players, like San Francisco did this past year? And I think Seattle has, like, you know, has some room in the payroll, has some room in the lineup, room in the rotation. They could be one of those opportunistic buyers, like we've seen with the Braves in the past, where they'll just, like, sit and wait. And if somebody they like will take a one-year deal at a price that they can justify, they'll do it to sort of stay flexible. Obviously, the rumors are like pushing toward Marcus Semien, so like that would eat up a lot of that flexibility if you make that move quickly.
Is there any one position group where it's kind of a weak free agency class, or is this pretty solid across the board?
Catching is the one spot where there isn't a lot of depth. I'm not sure any of these guys are going to get multi-year deals, and you know, I think Seattle could probably upgrade there, but it's not like a giant need. And I think it's also interesting to try to figure out. We talked about Chris Bryant, like the, you know, Mariners just made like that big Gregman trade to get Toro, who looks like sort of a long-term answer at third base. But going back to Chris Bryant, he can play corner outfield. I think at the back end, if he signs a 4 or 5 year deal, he probably goes to the corner outfield. And that's one of the spots where I think they could be willing to add somebody. One other sort of, complicating element to this is it looks like we'll have universal DH in the new CBA. So a lot of those corner outfield first base DH type guys, there's now twice as many teams betting for them. So the Nelson Cruz, Kyle Schwarber, some of those kinds of guys, they don't all have to settle for one-year deals anymore. Mm. So that's another element to kind of toss into this.
Oh, that's really interesting, Kylie. You know, one of the other, now we're talking about the outfield a little bit. You know, Jerry DePoto kind of in his press conference yesterday said that they're not going to be overly aggressive in trying to find an established center fielder. But one name that has been, you know, put out there and a name that you have actually pretty high on your list is Seiya Suzuki. What are you hearing about him, the intrigue that he has across baseball, and could that be a potential fit in Seattle?
Yeah, if you lump together the Korean and Japanese leagues, KBO and MPB, and say, like, who's the best position player to come over? Because if you remember, historically, it's almost always a pitcher. And we've had, you know, Daisuke and all kinds of players come from MPB largely. And then KBO, usually the players come from there are guys that were sort of stalled out in the big leagues, went there, got better. Eric Thames, one example. And then last year we had Ha-Seong Kim, who was 26, came over as a shortstop, was a little underwhelming, but got $25 million from Mariners. Or sorry, from the Padres. Suzuki is going to be 27, so he's 1 year older, and he's probably a right fielder, but he's a good enough fielder that he could play a little center if you need him to. He's seen as the best position player to come over in a while, maybe even going all the way back to Ichiro and Hideki Matsui, but not quite at their level, but there just hasn't been a lot of position players come over since then. I have a lineup for 4 years, $48 million, and that'll also come with a posting fee, which will be like another, I think, $8 to $10 million, if that's what the contract is, that the team has to pay to his team in Hiroshima. So he's one of the more intriguing guys just because you could get him for 4 or 5 years at age 27. That's Carlos Correa's age. You typically don't get free agents that young. Mm. And just because he hasn't been over here, you don't really know where the upside is. Like, it could be a really good player. I think Ha-Seong Kim, obviously being a different sort of player, but the last guy to come over had a little bit of trouble this year. So I think there could be some teams that are a little scared off. Obviously, Seattle, I think, has a little bit of an advantage when it comes to the players from the far west.
You know, Kylie, one of the things that Mariners fans, they always keep tabs on guys that leave and what they do. You have Yusei Kikuchi listed as 33 on your list, and then there's also Kyle Seager who will be departing from the team. What do those two guys' markets look like, and what type of team do you expect those two guys to land on?
Yeah, Kikuchi's in that interesting spot, a little below that second tier of starter I talked about, with that 40 to 60 million. I have him at 2 years, 21. And he opted out of the $13 million clear option, which I think a lot of people thought he would take, because I think he thinks he can get multiple years, and then getting that bigger guarantee is worth it. I think he's going to end up going to a team that is looking at that top tier pitcher, but is probably shopping in that second tier and then doesn't get what they're looking for. I think another candidate would be teams like the Dodgers, who have such a big payroll and such a good farm system that they can afford to get either somewhat risky or lower ceiling guys that they need to mix in. As we already saw the Dodgers sign Andrew Haney, who is a little bit of a, you know, buy low opportunity. I could see some teams thinking Kikuchi could be that kind of guy, competing teams that need a little length to their rotation. And then, yeah, that would be another thing with Seager, where you're looking for, you know, teams that may be shopping a little bit north of where he is, which is, you know, 1 or 2 years, 10, 12 million a year. If they can't get the guy they want, he's in a group with Eduardo Escobar at Arizona, a couple other, infielders in that range where you're getting an everyday guy, but it's a little older. There's probably not a ton of upside, but there's plenty of teams, especially if the CBA ends up with a floor that teams have to spend to. He's one of those guys you can feel good about, and especially on a one-year deal, a lot of rebuilding teams will look at veterans, usually relievers, but sometimes infielders as well, to then deal at the deadline.
I think it's always good for Mariners fans to know which teams their team is competing with for some of these names. We know the big spenders every year, you know, the Yankees, the Dodgers. But is there any other team that, like Seattle, has been a little more quiet on that front that plans to go all in this offseason?
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors around Texas. Who look like they may make a run at Clayton Kershaw, in addition to some of those top-tier guys we just talked about. I think they think that they will be competitive this year and possibly contend the year after. And so this could be sort of an investment on the front end to take a step forward. The Giants obviously are a team that has typically had high payrolls, but they got a lot of money coming off the books this year. So it is sort of believed that they might have, you know, up to $100 million available. I think they'll only sign one or two of the big multi-year deals, and they probably will be very dangerous in that sort of one-year, $10 to $15 million deal, especially for players that can't get the market they want but want to go to a team that has a history of improving. And then there's just some other teams that I think aren't always at the limit of the competitive bounce tax or sort of the soft salary cap, like the White Sox, that are just aggressive every year. And maybe aren't the biggest spenders, but they're just always going to figure out a way to make the most out of it. But I would say, yeah, Seattle and Texas and the Giants are probably those non-Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers types that I think might be spending at the top end of the market. And it wouldn't surprise me also to say if the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, the teams that typically spend the most, if they get outbid, Detroit also would be another team like that who thinks they're sort of rounding the corner. If one of those teams makes a semi-irrational bid on a player early to get somebody and build some momentum, and then you see the Yankees and Red Sox haven't signed anybody, and we're already, you know, into February, and they got to pick who they want. Wouldn't shock me, because those teams have shown a lot of caution when it comes to all but their, you know, core three or four players. Right. And I think some of these teams that are rounding the corner, like Seattle, might have to overpay to get the guy they want if they've, like, dead set on a certain player.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we're anticipating, too. He is ESPN MLB insider Kylie McDaniel. Make sure you go check out his 2021-22 MLB free agent rankings. It's on ESPN.com right now. It's a good, easy list if you aren't sure about these names or where the Mariners should be looking. Kylie tells you the projected contract, all the details you need to know about the player, a team that might be looking for them. Really, really good stuff. Kylie, it's been so fun talking to you. I hope we can get you on a bit later in free agency once the Mariners start to make some moves here.
Yep, absolutely.
Fantastic.
All right, Kylie, thank you so much.
Kylie, man, have a good one.
Yep, thanks.
All right, let's jump to Hype Train. It is Hype Train taking us down to the station. Normally we do this at 1:30, but coming up at 1:30, we've got crack and center Morgan Geeky joining us. Very excited for that one. So instead, we're doing it here. I am telling you guys some top trends in sports, big predictions in sports. You tell me whether or not you're boarding the Hype Train or whether or not you think it's all hype. You're going to let it go on by. Let's get started here. Odell Beckham Jr. watch continues. His top three teams, according to Diana Russini, narrowed down to the Saints, the Chiefs, and the Packers. Jordan Schultz reports that the Patriots also making a move, but Odell Beckham Jr., this is the Hype Train, is signing with the Chiefs. You boarding that train or
the
no?
The Kansas City Chiefs,
City Chiefs need a third receiver. They need a dynamic weapon. They need someone, if they can't get their run game going, to break up some attention that's been focused on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and so they make a push for Odell Beckham Jr., and it works out.
I am not getting on this hype train, actually. I think this is Green Bay. Here's who I think this comes down to. I know that Kansas City is one of those teams listed, and it makes a ton of sense. But honestly, I would not be surprised if it comes down to Green Bay, Seattle, or the New England Patriots. New England Patriots being listed as a team that, as you talked about earlier, a team that's all of a sudden getting very, very aggressive. Bill Belichick going very aggressively after Odell Beckham Jr. I know the Seahawks are very much in the conversation as well, and that they're sitting there. But Green Bay, Seattle, and the New England Patriots, to me, are the three teams that I think, when it's all said and done, are the teams that are going to be sitting there looking at it and going, hey, we've got the best shot at this guy. And I just believe that when you're looking at OBJ, that this is an opportunity to really show how much of a difference maker you can be for a particular offense. I don't know if OBJ necessarily gets that credit with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he does for offenses that are struggling more in the passing game, or being alongside a guy like Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. So I'm just thinking about this from a damage perspective and what he could do. Certainly Mahomes and that group, it would be fun. It would be exciting, and you'd love to see it. But I really see those three other teams as being one that's got a better shot at landing him.
Curtis, this hype train comes from my own prediction, so you already know where I stand. But Odell Beckham Jr. signs with the Chiefs. You boarding or not?
I mean, even with the Chiefs having a down year by their standards, I still think they're going to win double-digit games this season. And looking at the other teams that have shown interest in Odell Beckham, the Saints, they don't have a quarterback. The Packers, they're not offering him anything. They're offering him the chance to play with Aaron Rodgers. That's all they're offering him. The Seahawks can offer him the most money, but they're also the furthest out of the playoff race of all the teams that have shown interest. The Patriots, I don't really think they're, you know, destined for playoff glory this season. I hate to say it, but the Chiefs make the most sense.
Yeah.
I will get on this train.
Oh, no. Jake left by himself at
fine.
The station.
I'll,
his best
that
friend.
Doesn't mean I don't
the
want
train.
The Seahawks to go after him. I'm not one of those idiots, okay? I want the Seahawks to move mountains for this guy.
Right.
Get Odell Beckham Jr. in here.
You're saying there's a difference between what I think will happen and what I want to happen.
Yes.
All right. So two aboard that one. Next train in. Jimmy Lake is serving a one-game suspension, which means he will miss the team's upcoming game against Arizona State. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding, Jake, starting with you. Jimmy Lake coaches another game for the Huskies.
What have I been telling you guys the past couple days?
That he won't.
Exactly.
So it's not funny.
I am getting on this hype train. That's okay. What I've been told. That's what the conversation has been. And so far, I haven't been led astray in this situation. I just believe that when you gave out that one game suspension, it just does not leave any room for Jimmy Lake to come back here and for it to make a whole lot of sense. And was that suspension a way to buy some time for the university and Jimmy Lake to sit down and talk and go through this buyout process and how everything's going to go? I think that is more along the lines of where we're at than Jimmy Lake coming back and finishing the last two games as a coach that everyone knows is no longer going to be the head coach for this university. I just think it would be an incredibly awkward and unproductive situation personally. So I'm getting on this hype train that he will not coach another game.
The hype, you're saying off the hype train. The hype train is that Jimmy Lake coaches another game for the Huskies.
Yes.
Jake says no. I think
on
he's
this
done.
Entirely different train.
Yeah,
yes.
Jake, you got. It's like when my family.
We're going in opposite directions.
When your
here.
Family starts boarding the wrong plane to go to the wrong place.
It's like, guys, our gate's over here.
Yeah.
Guys.
What are you doing? No, we're not going to Reno, Dad. Curtis. Jimmy Lake coaches another game for the Huskies. Are you boarding that hype train?
I am not boarding that hype train, and here's why. If Jimmy Lake coaches any of the remaining games and they win, then you look at it and like, well, we're firing a guy that's leaving on a three-game win streak here. We're firing a guy that if he had beat ASU, if they beat Colorado, if they beat Washington State, I mean, obviously that's going to leave a little bit better of a taste in the mouths of Husky fans. So you cannot allow him to coach another game because you don't want to have any excuse to bring him back after the just dreadful season that has played out in front of our eyes over at Husky Stadium. Jimmy Lake is done as Huskies head coach. I mean, I don't have any inside info, but that's just me reading the tea leaves in this one. I don't think he ever coaches again for UW. Do I think he gets a head coaching job somewhere else? Maybe at a smaller school, but boy, what a just awful performance we saw in every facet on Saturday.
Yeah, I think this train is going without any people on it. Now, I think
conductorless train.
Uh-oh. It's a conductor with no passengers. I think that you know, after our talk with Bruce Feldman, I think it's clear that there's a lot of untapped potential with Jimmy Lake. That he's a guy who has the capability to be a great coach. Clearly, was arguably the best DB coach in the country. A guy that was loved by his team and players, but that has taken a left turn that I don't know if it can be righted, and it's a bummer. I don't like calling for anyone's job, and
nope.
I don't know that I am, but buying into the reports that it's done. That's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Next one here. This one, a last minute hype train courtesy of insider John Morosi, friend of the station. He says Corey Seager has made two All-Star teams in 2016 and 17. In both of those seasons, Tim Hyers was the assistant hitting coach. Earlier today, Hyers was announced as the new hitting coach of the Texas Rangers.
Oh, no.
Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding, Corey Seager signs with the Rangers in the offseason.
Yes, and I hate everything about it. I am getting on the hype train, and I am getting on the hype train that the Seager brothers are coming together to
you
get into
the Seager
same
brothers are both going to be with the Rangers. No,
the same division as the Mariners, and go after and try and ruin the Mariners' playoff.
What
hopes.
A heel turn!
Yes,
wow.
You
I'm here
ended
for it.
You ended our and dashed our hopes of playing together, possibly in Seattle. We talked about it for years, and you ended that possibility. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to sign on with the Texas Rangers, and we're coming for
oh,
you.
No.
That's what I see.
You think
happening
both Seager
here.
Brothers sign with Texas?
Oh yeah. Oh, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
Kyle Seager,
and I
playing
don't
for the
like
Rangers,
it.
he would hit 95 home runs
yes.
in one
yeah.
season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like anything about that, but I could definitely see it happening. Absolutely, I could see that happening.
All right, Kraken center Morgan Geeky joins us next. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Wenberg, all the way across, and they score!
This hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by King's Heating and Air. We are joined by Kraken center Morgan Geeky right now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Hey, Morgan, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing? I'm doing good, thanks.
Yeah, we're well. We're well. We're excited to talk to you. We haven't gotten a chance to talk to a lot of you guys yet, and I'm personally really curious to know, you know, just what you think of Seattle so far. You, though, play junior hockey in the Tri-Cities, so did it feel like you already knew the area, or does it feel like a new place?
Kind of a bit of both. The weather is a lot warmer in Kennewick, but I really do like it in Seattle. It's awesome. It's super homey.
You know, Morgan, I do have to say that you brought it, my friend, when it came to Halloween, being Dwight Schrute.
Yeah, facts.
You and your wife pulled off the look tremendously well. What was the inspiration? How quickly did you put that plan together?
Well, I didn't do anything, and I'm going to say 99% of it was my wife. So, yeah, she did awesome. I love The Office, so I thought it was a great idea, and yeah, she's pretty good at that stuff. She put it all together for us.
Yeah, shout out to her. She sounds super funny in that case. So
no,
I guess please
awesome.
Send along our compliments in that case.
Yeah, I don't know. I won't pump her tires too much, but I'll maybe let her know.
Thank you. Appreciate yeah. it. Hey, so start of the season for you guys. I think all of us had an expectation of what we thought the team would be, and obviously we're realizing throughout the season, you know, areas where it's so much better and areas where there needs to be a step forward. When you look at the team, what are you excited about when it comes to what you guys can do or just kind of the group you have?
Yeah, I'm excited about a lot, actually. I think we have a really good team, and when you look at us, I think we have a lot of lines that can score. And like some games, you know, pucks just don't go in, and that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. But you know, I think we're kind of coming into our own here. I think we've played some good hockey here, and we just kind of need to piece together for a full 60 minutes. And you know, I think we can get some points out of some games, and You know, a couple slipped away from us just recently, but, you know, I like where we're at, and as a group, I think we're taking steps in the right direction. So, you know, that's all you can ask for, really, as long as we keep getting better day in and day out.
Morgan, is that really the mentality that you guys are able to carry through this season so far? I mean, I can only imagine how crazy it is to be a part of a team that just got put together. You haven't had much time to play with one another. You're trying to make up for lost time along the way, and I'm sure some of these losses can be frustrating, but how important is keeping that ultimate goal and belief in each other that you guys are eventually going to get there?
Yeah, for sure. I think the coaching staff does a great job of kind of preparing us for that stuff. And you kind of said it earlier, how we're all coming from different systems and different organizations who do things a little bit differently than each other. But, you know, I think we're taking steps, and I think we've got a really good group. And I'm excited for what's to come.
Morgan, I'm really fascinated by that aspect of it, coming from the different systems. Like, from a football perspective, I could tell you that, look, offensive plays, I used to play quarterback, and from an offensive play perspective, you have, you know, different, you know, names for routes and things like that, but ultimately it's the same concepts. Is that how it is in hockey, or is it very, can it vary drastically in terms of the approach?
You know, it's a lot of the same, kind of like what you said. I think the big one is just kind of getting, you know, growing that chemistry with the players, obviously, you know, kind of like football and any other sport in that aspect where, you know, you come into a new team and everyone's not really used to playing with each other. And you don't really have that kind of instinct. So, you know, I think that's growing, like I said, and just getting reps and everything is definitely, you know, helping grow that chemistry amongst the team for sure.
How's Dave Hackstall as a head coach?
He's awesome. Yeah, he's a great guy. You know, he's a really good communicator, and you know, it's easy for him to get his point across. He, you know, he definitely, you know, commands respect in that regard, and you know, I definitely think he gets it. So he's awesome and a big part of our team for sure.
Morgan, you know, one of the things that has been fun was watching one of your very first goals. Actually, it was your first goal. Just an absolute laser beam of a goal. How good did that feel to be able to get that one in the net?
It was awesome. Yeah, it's always nice to kind of get the first one out of the way and relax a little bit, and then for it to come in the first game was pretty special. So yeah, it was good just to kind of get out of the way, but you know, hopefully I can, you know, continue to contribute on the score sheet.
I'm going to squeeze in a non-hockey question here, but just out of curiosity, I said that you played junior hockey in Tri-Cities. You were obviously much younger, not that you aren't young now, but can you name all Tri-Cities?
Yes. I lived
Prove
in
it.
Pasco. I lived in Pasco. The rink was in Kennewick and what's it called? No, the Hanford site's in Richland.
Okay, there that's actually correct. Okay, now power rank
it.
Them.
I know everything. Trust me.
Nice.
Morgan, now Stacey's challenging you to power rank
power
the Tri-Cities.
Power
I don't know, man.
Tri-Cities.
I don't know if you want to step in that water.
I think he does.
Power rank? What do you mean power rank?
Power rank best, like, Tri-City to...
Okay, to worst.
Not
okay.
Best.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is dangerous territory.
Pasco. I'm going Pasco because, like, these are very, I don't know the word, but anyway, I'll just keep going.
Got it.
Pasco, number one, because I live there and my billets are awesome.
Okay.
Number two would be Kennewick because the rink's there, obviously. And three is Richland because I honestly didn't get out there that much, but I thought the Hanford site was super, super cool.
All right.
There's not really a 1 to 3, but those would be my my subjective answers.
Look, Richland, it's not you, it's Morgan. There's just some learning to be done there. But Jake, do you have one more question for Morgan?
I do. You know, Morgan, you're not, look, being in the Tri-Cities, as you said, it's very far removed from Seattle. But how have you and your wife transitioned? Because so many people, look, they just focus on the player, whether you're practicing on the ice, you know, what that process is like. But what was it like for you and your wife, you know, having to move and get settled here? Do you guys feel like you're in that position yet or still very much learning the city?
We're definitely still learning. It's a lot bigger than we're used to, that's for sure. But, you know, it's good. We're working on, she's working on kind of getting a job and getting things sorted out like that. Yeah, we have a nice place to live. You know, we live near a couple guys, so it's a pretty, you know, short commute if we want to go hang out with anybody. But, we're starting to make it feel a little more like home, but, you know, it's definitely going to take a little more time, but, you know, that's fine with us.
Yeah, it'll certainly come with time, and it is a great place, and we're glad that so far it's starting to feel like home. And
ooh, can I ask him one more question?
No, Jake.
Please, just one question. Morgan, I'm so sorry, but I have to fit this in. How cool is the walk from the locker room out onto the ice there at Climate Pledge Arena? That place looks, that looks sick. Like, I'm jealous that I wish I could walk out of a tunnel like that. That looks awesome.
Yeah, no, it's pretty sweet. Yeah, I think whoever designed it, no idea, but did a really good job of, like, you know, that whole aspect, especially, like, I couldn't even imagine as, like, a fan, you know, seeing us kind of come out through those couple, I think there's suites on the other side of the glass. So, and then with, like, the lights and the fog and all that kind of stuff, and then the crowd, it's awesome. Yeah, the atmosphere is unbelievable. So, yeah, it's definitely something that that you can't take for granted. It's pretty special.
All right, Jake, I will approve of that question. That's a fair one. He is Kraken center Morgan Geeky. Morgan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. We hope we can talk to you again soon.
Awesome. No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Morgan.
Again, this hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by King Seeing and Air, and What I Need to Know is coming your way next. So get those questions in, any question you have, or you can power rank Tri-Cities. I don't know. Some people taking some serious issue.
Yeah, 360 taking some exception.
Yeah, Morgan Geeky trying his hardest not to offend anyone, and here you have everyone from Richland like, no, you're the worst. All right, so What I Need to Know is coming your way next. Send those questions in right now, 206-421-3776. Your questions are next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
I really hope we didn't make Morgan Geeky like an enemy of Richland in the Tri-Cities.
No.
I don't think so. He didn't say the worst. He just said, Richland, I haven't really been there a ton. I can't.
We should all respect him more for putting himself out there. 100%.
He really did. He didn't try to pull like a, they're all great. He power ranked the Tri-Cities,
and when
it happened.
He gave his answer, he didn't bash the city.
Yeah, no.
He didn't say anything bad about it.
He said, "Look, you're third.
No, he did not say that, Stacey.
That's what I heard.
He put his perspective from his own experience in terms of more, I would say, of his interactions than anything negative. So. Look, if you're from Richland and you got upset because you came in third, I mean,
the 509.
I would say do something about it.
This is What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Speaking of the Tri-Cities and Richland, the 509 wants to know if you've ever been to the Hanford, Washington site. I'm too afraid to go.
No, I have not been.
Yeah, I don't. Mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh, that's the nuclear site.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
Richland High School, their nickname's the Bombers.
Wow, that's dark.
I mean, look, they've got actually a pretty cool logo. It's because their football program, Jake, is like legendary in the state of Washington.
Yeah.
Their logo is a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Look, I'm afraid of everything, including accidents that have already happened. For that same reason, I will not go to Mount St. Helens. Because it could erupt at any moment.
No, it can't.
What? Yeah, it could.
I mean, it gets rumbling every
now
and then.
Yeah, it's still, like, alive.
Active is what they
call
it.
Active. It's still active.
It doesn't come out of nowhere, okay? You'll have some sort of a warning.
I don't know, Jake. I don't know.
This isn't Dante's Peak, okay? Pierce Brosnan isn't trying to, you know, yell to the people of Washington that a volcano
what?
Is going to explode. And no one wants to listen to him.
I need to know. Will Chris Carson play in Green Bay this week from the 720?
I have said I am not confident. I still remain not confident given the nature of Chris Carson's injury. But I would love to be wrong here. I would love. It's a very good sign that he is practicing now on Wednesday. Gives him plenty of opportunity to get himself back and for him to be available for this Sunday game against the Green Bay Packers. Gosh, they need him. I mean, having Russell Wilson, having Chris Carson back for this Green Bay game would be everything for them to have the best chance to walk out of a win for the first time since when? 1999?
Mike Holmgren's return.
Wow.
That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
The 360 says, I'd be more fearful of Mount Rainier. Yeah, I'm afraid of all mountains. I don't go near them. I don't trust them.
What a shame. All the great hiking you're missing out on.
Well, you don't have to hike a mountain. You could hike like a non-volcano mountain, you know?
Yeah, but wouldn't that feed into your fear of heights?
I don't have a fear of heights.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just really low to the ground, so that kind of helps. What I need to know, wouldn't you love to see DK Metcalf on a fly sweep from the 509?
Is this the same person that's advocating
Jake,
for this?
I am telling you, I look at the text.
Season?
Listen, I look at the text line all day long. Multiple people almost every day say, why don't we see more of DK Metcalf in fly sweeps? I'm not kidding. I've seen this from at least four different numbers.
Because I would say that it's not his greatest strength. I mean, DK is the type of guy, could you do it? Yes. Could it be something that you do, once or twice every couple weeks to, you know, just give a different look and to throw somebody off? Yes. But DK Metcalf's not necessarily the guy that I would be giving fly sweeps to on a consistent basis. DK is a punishing physical type of guy, but he's not necessarily the, you know, most elusive guy in space making people miss. He is a physical bruiser that can run you over and can run by you. So I wouldn't mind seeing it maybe from time to time, but it's not something I'm saying this is missing from the offense. You have to do it.
What I need to know, do you think the NFL will expand to 18 games? I lost it for a minute.
Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, 17 was just kind of the soft pedal to get you to 18. I mean, that's just the way it goes, and everybody knows it. The NFLPA knows it. The NFL owners know it. This is only going to last a certain amount of time. And quite frankly, if you're going to limit and not have players participate in the NFL preseason, I think you should. Honestly, if the NFL preseason is going to go away, then you should just make it 18 games.
Someone said, is Stacey afraid of the beach as well because of tsunamis? Yes.
Seriously?
If you see a tsunami,
I'm surprised your house.
I don't frequently. If you see a tsunami, it's too late. I feel like I've always heard that. Like, you will get caught up in the tsunami wave if you can see it. And often, it's like with the warning, you have to get out immediately. Immediately. You can't waste any time because they're that quick. Get out of the area. Why are you laughing?
You remind me of a character on the movie Benchwarmers. It's played by Nick Swardson. Howie.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't leave his house. Because
he's just so afraid. He just is.
I leave my house. I go to the grocery store.
Locks himself in his room. He never leaves. He is pale white.
No.
Yes, because no. He's afraid of the sun.
No.
He's afraid of everything.
I'm not afraid of the sun.
That is you, Stacey.
I'm not. Mike Lefkoe's back here, like, cheering on.
I don't know, Stacey.
Because that's the perfect reference.
I leave
reference.
My house.
If this year, you specifically would complain about the sun more than anybody.
Well, yeah, because it was hot. Not because I was afraid of
it.
It was like
cloudy.
75 degrees.
If there was one thing I was afraid of at training camp, it was that the bald eagles there fly very low. And I think it's concerning. That was what I was afraid of, not the sun. I'm not afraid of the sun. The sun is just, it's giving, you know, life to the planet. I'm fine with that. The bald eagles have very sharp talons. And I think that it's like deers that are used to people. The bald eagles are so used to people that I think they would be comfortable landing on something, flying down and landing on someone. And I just felt like it was a little too close for comfort.
The eagles can't pick up anybody unless they're incredibly small.
Well, I think if a pair
Look
of them,
who you're talking to, Jake.
I think three eagles could lift me.
Possibly.
This is how I'm ending the show. Please remember that forever. I think three eagles could lift me.
Will we get an OBJ update?
I don't know.
Stacey, I would be.
What did you say?
Oh, that was
it's
from
time
the
for an Odell update.
Oh, gosh.
I got to get every other show to start using that. Lefko, make sure Wyman and Bob use that for Odell updates, okay? He's going to say no. This is a thumbs up of someone who doesn't want to do it. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.